Greg, we talked the opening weekend, and since the opening weekend,
Matthew, I'm good at 6:13. Okay, thanks. Well, good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, as the case may be. It's time for another Harrisburg Senators baseball broadcast tonight, live from FNB Field on this beautiful Thursday evening. It's game three of a six-game series between your Harrisburg Senators and the Erie Seawolves, the AA affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. The Seawolves have won the first two games of this series, Tuesday 6-2 and yesterday 10-3. Though the game yesterday afternoon was closer and tighter than 10-3 makes it sound. It was a five-run eighth inning for Erie that broke the game wide open. Tonight, it's a big leaguer on the mound for the Senators, Cade Cavalli, former Harrisburg Senator, making a rehab start for the Senators as he tries to ascend his way back into the major leagues. We'll talk about Frankie and I will talk about Cade as the game goes on. For the Erie Seawolves, it is Jaden Hamm, and he is out in left field playing catch and ready to move into the left field bullpen. Well, the Erie Seawolves are 12-5, and they are rolling right along. And for the pregame show tonight, I talked to my longtime good friend and the longtime voice, 19 years of the Erie Seawolves. And when we're back on the pregame show, we'll play that for you on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400.
Greg, we talked the opening weekend, and since the opening weekend, the Erie Seawolves, they are just rolling along. You and I have talked, not on the air, about the Seawolves and about where things are at in the Tigers organization and why there are so many guys here that are really better than being in AAA.
Yeah, it's a situation where the Tigers have very much the last few years under Scott Harris. They have structured the AAA team as these are guys that we want in a pinch to call up. So for the most part, you see the prospects staying at the AA level. And the other thing with AAA is they are trying to get, you know, for example, a guy like Andrew Navigado, infielder by trade, they're working him in different positions in the outfield. So if they need a guy and he's the next man up, they are able to play multiple positions. So that's what they're really focusing on in the AAA level from a prospect standpoint. I think the only position player prospect up there would be Hao-Yu Lee, maybe a couple others, but not many. So the prospects are really AA and below. And you know, they've brought in minor league free agents at the AAA level, guys that could immediately make an impact when they go up and pitch or play in the big league. So that's really been the structure of it. And the lower levels of the system have benefited, because I can make a case right now for probably 10 guys on this Erie roster that have played well enough over the past couple of years that could deserve to make AAA. And as opposed to the way it was in the past, where you put in a year or two in AA, you graduate to the next level, they're just not operating that way right now. And I think that message has been clearly communicated to the players. And I think that's why Erie's got a really cohesive clubhouse right now. As you know, so many times when players think that they should be somewhere where they're not, that really could drag everybody down. And we haven't had that in the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, everybody on there wants to either be in AAA or the big leagues. There's no doubt about that. You always want to advance, but they have taken it as opportunities to say, hey, I'm playing every day. And, you know, even a guy like Justice Bigby, he spent all of last year in Toledo. And with the free agents they have signed at the AAA level and other guys they're trying to mix in with other positions, they want to make sure he plays every day. And so the trickle down has him here. Doesn't mean if the Tigers like Justice Bigby, he's not going to go up to the big leagues tomorrow. They just want him playing every day.
You are in a unique position in that you do Tigers games about once a week. You go wherever the Tigers are at, you call a game on the radio. You talk to A.J. Hinch in an interview. And in that time, in those few hours, once a week that you're with Tiger people, does anyone ask you about how things are going here? Not as a broadcaster, but the baseball side of things.
They do. And actually, we were in Baltimore last year towards the end of the season, and the Tigers president, Scott Harris, came up to me. And we probably talked for about an hour just about the state of affairs in the minor leagues and what I'm seeing down here. And look, Scott's not going to make a player move based on what I'm telling him or what I'm observing at this level. But the attention to detail that the executives have right now, they want to know what's going on. They want to know if there's problems in the minor leagues. They want to know how the players are responding and who we like. And are the guys being good to you? Are they courteous on the road? Are, you know, all those kind of things. They've really created a culture of accountability in the organization. And they don't want bad apples in the system. So if there was a guy in West Michigan or Erie that was a problem child, then they're going to move on from that player. And so we've seen that in small doses since that regime has taken over. They want guys to be held accountable. And so, yeah, they absolutely ask. And it's, you know, it's a little daunting at first when the guy who's in charge of everything in the organization says, hey, what do you think about this? And it's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing because I don't want somebody getting fired. But they've been good. And look, those guys know. You know, we've been around for so long. What do scouts do when they come into ballparks? They come talk to us. They want to know makeup of guys, how these guys are on the bus, in the hotel. And the same has been with me and the Tigers.
Well, the other part of doing the Tigers games is you're watching the Tigers.
Yes.
So you watch the Tigers, you call the game. A lot of those guys are guys that you've had in Erie. But now you can come back to Erie and you know why these guys aren't moving along because of all the things that you talked about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's weird when you see some of these guys up there and they even ask you, like, hey, how's so-and-so doing in the minor leagues? And I'm like, hey, he's hitting the heck out of the ball, just is blocked right now. Excuse me, it's a weird experience as I'm now hiccuping on your pregame show here. This is what happens when you put me on right after I eat. No, it's been a unique experience from that standpoint.
And then all the travel. You're leaving Harrisburg tomorrow to fly to Detroit to call a game on Saturday.
Yeah, the travel's been the toughest part of all this, preparing for games and traveling, because I don't know where I'm going to be on a given week. I'll leave tomorrow to fly to Detroit. Excuse me. I'll call the game on Saturday, and then I'll drive back to Erie on Sunday, and we get to do it all again next week.
All right, Greg. Thanks a lot. Go get rid of the hiccups.
Thanks, Terry.
All right. The Zero Day Brewing starting lineup's next right here on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400.
Well, many thanks to Greg Gania for his time with the pregame interview. Now let's take a look at the Zero Day Brewing lineups. Visit their tap room on 3rd Street in Harrisburg, or get a Zero Day draft during your next visit here at FNB Field. For the Erie Seawolves, leading off and at third base, it's Carlos Mendoza. Batting second, and at second base, it's Max Anderson. Batting third and doing the catching is Tyron Lorenzo. Hitting fourth and in left field, Justice Bigby. Batting fifth, the DH is Eliezer Zambrano. Batting sixth is first baseman Chris Myers. Hitting seventh is right fielder Roberto Campos. Batting eighth and at shortstop is Jim Jarvis. And hitting ninth and in center field, it's Ben Malgiri. One more time, that is Mendoza, Anderson, Lorenzo, Bigby, Alfonso, Myers, Campos, Jarvis, and Malgiri with Jaden Hamm on the mound. He has just finished his warm-up tosses down in the left field bullpen. For the Senators, who are playing as the Mayflies tonight, they lead off with left fielder Dalen Lyle. Batting second and in center field, Dante Williams. Hitting third and at first base, Yo-Yo Morales. Batting fourth and in right field is Nick Schnell. Batting fifth and at third base, Caden Wallace. Batting sixth and the DH is Jeremy De La Rosa. Hitting seventh and at shortstop, Cortland Lawson. Batting eighth and doing the catching is Max Romero Jr. And hitting ninth and at second base, Philip Glasser. And on the mound again is the right-hander Cade Cavalli, making a rehab appearance for the Nationals here in Harrisburg. It has been a long time for Cade. He hasn't pitched in a regular season game that is not a rehab since August of 22. And I'm sure he is chomping at the bit to get himself back into the big leagues. The umpires are Stone Garver is behind the plate. Elliot Melton is at first, and Jalen Goodman is at third. Just waiting for the Senators to take the field, and then we'll have our national anthem. The Senators have dropped two in a row to Erie after winning on Sunday afternoon. Senators beginning play tonight, 7-10. Elsewhere in the Eastern League, Reading is leading Portland 1-0 in the bottom of the second inning in Portland. Hartford and Somerset are in the top of the first inning, scoreless in Somerset. Altoona and Chesapeake are in the top of the first inning, scoreless. Richmond and Akron are in the top of the first inning, and they too are scoreless. I think that's all the games along with this one. The Nationals tonight. Are hosting the Orioles. That game should be getting underway any moment. I think that's a 6:30 start down in Washington, or 6:35. Limited schedule. The Royals beat the Rockies already today, 7-4. And the Mariners beat the Red Sox in Boston, 4-3. The White Sox shut out the Twins in just seven innings before rain came in Minnesota, 3-0. Late tonight, it's the Rangers in Sacramento to take on the A's. The Rays are in Arizona to take on the D-backs. The Pirates and Angels in Southern California at 9:30. Underway in the ninth inning, the Giants are leading the Brewers 6-5. And in game two, it's Kansas City over Colorado 2-0 in the fourth inning. So our national anthem has started. That's it for the pregame show. When Frankie and I come back, it's time for baseball on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Kate Cavalli out on the mound, just beginning his warm-up tosses, wearing the Mayflies uniform with the red cap and blue bill. Along with Frankie Vernowski, I'm Terry Byram. Back in the studio is Matthew Vargo. Baseball on a Thursday night, 77 degrees, and unlike maybe last night, it is, it's not necessarily warm or hot tonight. There's a little breeze and feels like a lot less humidity.
Yeah, it's a wonderful night tonight, certainly. Another great night for baseball.
Senators looking for a win this evening over the Seawolves. They've played five games with Erie this year and have not won a game yet. The Seawolves have really shackled the Senators offensively.
Yeah, the Seawolves staff overall has had an excellent start. You know, the opponents are only batting 184 this year against Erie, which is going to make things awfully difficult for not just the Senators, but the entire Eastern League.
Well, Kate Cavalli should be fun to watch him. He pitched here in 2021.
Yes. Got to see a lot of strikeouts from Cade, and overall that year across the minors. It was something like 175 strikeouts in just 120 innings.
But he has had a long time getting back, and he's not back yet to the big leagues, but hopefully sooner than later he'll be back with the Nationals, or at least back to pitching not in rehabs. So standing in is Carlos Mendoza to begin the ball game on this Thursday night. Cavalli staring in into the windup, and the first pitch is low for a ball, and it's one ball and no strikes. Mendoza 371 in limited action, a home run and seven runs driven in. The windup and the 1-0 pitch, a breaking ball, and that drops in for a strike. And it's one ball and one strike. Left-handed batter, give you the Senators defense here momentarily. The windup and the 1-1 breaking ball in for a strike. And it's one ball and two strikes. Tonight's game time was 6:33 and the weather 77 degrees, the temperature. And tonight's game time and temperature presented by Jimmy Juice. When it's game time, it's Jimmy Juice time. Available here at FNB Field. One ball and two strikes on Mendoza. He has a really wide open stance in the left-handed batter's box, and the 1-2. Swing and a miss at a breaking ball down and in, and there is one out.
Well, there's one of the typical sights, a Cavalli strikeout. Just so many good pitches that he can mix and match with.
So, one out, and here is Max Anderson, 304 average, three home runs on the season, and he has driven in 16 RBIs. Right-handed batter, and the first pitch is tapped foul at home plate, and the count is 0-1. No balls and a strike. Infield backs up now all the way around. Cavalli into the windup, and the pitch misses inside. One ball and one strike. One and one. Cade kicks, and the 1-1. Line to left field, and that drops in front of Daylen Lyle. He held up and played it on a bounce. And so a one-out single, and Max Anderson keeps doing what Max Anderson has been doing. Cavalli is making his second rehab start. His first one was over the weekend last Saturday with Fredericksburg. He pitched last year in just three rehab games, two in May and one in June. Didn't pitch at all in 2023, so it has been a long time coming back for him. Here is Tyron Lorenzo, left-handed batter in the first pitch, is an off-speed delivery, a sinker, low for a ball, 1-0. Erie leads the league in offense. Throw over to first base, and diving back in is Anderson. They're hitting 256 as a team. Now, once upon a time in the long-ago days, hitting 256 would not have you leading a league in hitting, but it does nowadays. Anderson, a good lead at first base. Cavalli sets and he holds and deals, and that pitch is chopped to second base. Glasser has one play and it's to first base in time for the out. That ball not hit hard at all and might have broken the bat of Lorenzo. So going to second is Anderson, and there are two outs.
Well, it's a fastball at 95 in off the plate, and indeed, I think a couple of small pieces chipped off that bat.
So here is Justice Bigby. Bigby hitting 321, three home runs and 18 RBIs, 2-for-9 this week. Cavalli with a runner at second base and two outs. Cade looks back there and delivers, and the first pitch, a fastball at 97. Is fouled off straight back, and the count is 0-1. No balls in a strike, two outs. Outfield is more or less straight away. Cavalli working slowly, ready and deals, and the pitch is swung on and missed, a fastball down. That one at 98 miles an hour. It's certainly, I don't know about you, Frankie, it doesn't look like he's throwing that hard.
No, free and easy, good extension, and that pitch dropped a ton, too.
Sinking fastball. No balls, two strikes. 0-2. And the 0-2. Fastball is tapped back to Cavalli. Morales had gone off the bag at first base and then hustled back to take the throw from Cavalli. The out goes 1-3. No runs on a hit, no errors, and a man left. We head to the bottom of the first inning. Here he doesn't score. The Senators coming up on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Bottom half of the first inning, out on the mound is right-hander Jaden Hamm for the Erie Seawolves. This is his fourth start. Daylen Lyle hitting 304, and the first pitch is hit high in the air into center field. Easy play for Ben Malgieri, just waiting for this to come down, and he makes the catch. And on one pitch, there's one out. No score, bottom of the first. Defensively, Bigby's in left. Malgieri's in center, Campos in right, then Myers at first, Anderson is at second, Jarvis is at short, Mendoza at third, Lorenzo is behind the plate, and here is Dante Williams. So Hamm, before tonight, has gone 12 and two-thirds innings and allowed 6 runs on 10 hits. He has struck out 17 and walked 4. Big overhand curveball drops in on Dante Williams, and the count is 0-1. The 0-1, and that misses inside, 1-1. I've seen him throw now 3 pitches, and it's a modified version of Juan Marichal.
Mm.
Man, unlike a lot of these guys now, as the pitch is fouled off straight back, we talked about this with one of Erie's pitchers that you had mentioned on the air about the short arm, and it's something that they teach now
yes.
in these labs so they can shape the baseball. Well, once upon a time, if you read a baseball book on how to throw, you would be taught to reach all the way back like you were taking something off a table.
Yes, and really push with your hips and legs off the rubber.
Yeah. Wind up and the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss at a breaking ball up, and there are 2 outs.
Now, he has the full circular arm motion that once upon a time everybody threw with. He really leans back on the leg kick, drops the arm down, and does the full windmill, pulling it around and firing home.
Yeah, he really comes straight over the top as Yo-Yo Morales stands in. 226, couple of home runs, 4 RBIs, and it's a swing and a miss on the first pitch. He works, does Jaden Ham from the third base side of the rubber, and he wears number 27, which, as the pitch misses, is what number one Marichal did wear. I can't imagine he's wearing it for that reason. You wear what you wear in the minor leagues. Pitch to Morales is a fastball that just misses, and the count is 2-1. Two balls and one strike, 2 outs. The windup and the 2-1, swing and a miss. That was an off-speed pitch, a changeup, and it's 2-2. The windup and the 2-2. Swing and a miss at a fastball up, and it's a quick inning with a couple of strikeouts. We have played one, and there's no score on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Top half of the second inning, Eliezer Alfonso, Chris Myers, and Roberto Campos. And the music is still going, and I think it caused Kate Cavalli to back off. Alfonso hitting 300 with two RBIs. Left-handed batter, the windup. And the first pitch is a fastball low, one ball and no strikes. That looked like a good pitch. I know I wouldn't want to be an umpire.
No.
A windup and the 1-0 is low, and it's 2-0.
Who was it, if you saw just a couple of weeks ago, Terry, that called the second perfect game by an umpire, measured over 10 years now? I think it was Mark Rippinger in MLB.
2-0 pitch is fouled off. So is that like through that umpire audit?
Yeah. Yes. The first was Pat Hoberg in the 2022 World Series. And then I think it was Mark Rippinger just a couple of weeks ago who called all roughly 140 pitches correctly. Which is...
would be like 300 pitches, right?
Well,
two teams
that he has to call.
Oh, they, oh, non-swinging. The 2-1 is fouled off and it's 2-2. I got you.
Which is just...
is remarkable.
It's astounding.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, umpires, we've talked about this on the air before. Umpires, I think, get a fair, an unfair shake because they're asked to be perfect in today's age of technology, and guys throw crazier pitches than ever before, and these umpires are still quite good at calling them proper strikes or balls.
It was a windup and the 2-2, and it's high. There was an article in The Athletic, maybe, about this very subject and about having the ABS system in the big leagues and whether it be a good or a bad thing. As the 3-2 is a breaking ball, bounced on the left side of the infield. Wallace up with it at third base, and his throw to first is in time, one away. And the players, the players in the article more or less said, look, some of the calls we don't like, but these guys are really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah, most of them are calling somewhere in the low to mid 90% of accuracy.
Chris Myers stands in, and the pitch is a strike, and the count is 0-1.
And that kind of accuracy on, you know, let's be honest, a made-up box.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Cavalli winds, and the 0-1 pitch is high for a ball. The worst thing that happened to umpires is when television started putting
yes.
that box on the screen in an arbitrary area,
yes.
which isn't necessarily a strike, depending on where the camera angle is. The 1-1 pitch is fouled off out of play.
And also, by the way, on the rare occasion you catch a broadcast that does not have the active K-zone, it's about a million times better to watch
yes.
the game.
It's actually, it's the same as judging football on that yellow
oh, yes.
line made for television.
Good point. That's a very good
it's
point.
It's the same thing. It's just a box on a TV screen. Wind up man, the 1-2 pitch is a check swing. They'll appeal, and he did not go around 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, one out. Cavalli, the right-hander, has the sign that he wants and delivers, and that pitch is chopped to second. Glasser to first in time, two away. And here is Roberto Campos. Well, the box on the television never changes. It's the same box for every hitter. No matter who the hitter is, that box is in the same place. Every hitter does not have the same strike zone. Carlos
no.
De La Cruz does not have the same strike zone as Vyondel Pena.
Yeah, and I've often found that it misrepresents. Because of that box, people think the strike zone is, I think, oftentimes smaller than what it actually is, because the box is rarely showing to the letters. But umpires do call those strikes.
Yes, they do. First offering is rolled along the third baseline by Campos. It rolls foul. And down to pick it up is Caden Wallace, and the count is 0-1. No balls and a strike. A helicopter somewhere flying overhead. I didn't see it, but I can
oh,
hear
I
it.
I don't see it either.
I see a couple of birds way up in the air. How high do you think birds can fly?
When they're migrating, don't they fly a couple, like tens of thousands of feet?
I don't know.
I think they're way up there.
And can you imagine the hummingbirds that are here come from Mexico? How does that happen? The 0-1 pitch is a ball, one ball and one strike.
I don't know. It's one of...
I don't know at all. Yeah.
One of nature's many great mysteries.
Yeah. One ball, one strike, 2 outs. Wind up and the 1-1, swing and a miss. So as much as... Look, when you do what Frankie and I do, or any of the broadcasters, and all of the pitches that are called, sometimes there are pitches that are just missed.
Yes.
And we talk about those, but most pitches aren't missed. The windup and the 1-2, swing and a miss. And it's a 1-2-3, PPL Electric Utilities Energy Efficient inning. Visit savewithppl.com to learn how you can be energy efficient, too. On to the bottom of the second on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Bottom half of the second inning, no score. Nick Schnell, Caden Wallace, and Jeremy De La Rosa for the Senators off right-hander Jaden Hammond. The first pitch to Nick Schnell is in for a strike. Schnell is hitting .283, no home runs, four RBIs. He is 4-for-8 with a double in the series. Ground ball pulled foul along the first baseline, and the count is 0-2.
Had him out in front of an off-speed pitch. I was surprised that Nick took that curveball over the middle because he is typically aggressive early in the count.
The 0-2 is high with a fastball, 1-2. It's even hard to make, talking about the umpires, hard to make calls on the bases. They're not nearly as easy as they look. Pitches popped up, foul, and out of play off to the left.
Yeah, you go, oh, wow, he clearly beat him. Well, congrats to you watching in super slow motion.
Look how many challenges are wrong. The 1-2 pitch is pulled on the ground, foul, and major league teams have people that's all
they're
doing. That's
a very good point, yes.
All they're doing is sitting in a room right behind the dugout and looking at, like, five replays at once so they can tell the dugout, and they don't get it right more than half the time the calls are upheld.
I would agree with you.
One ball and two strikes, and the windup and the pitch. That's popped up, foul, out of play off to the left. Ham struck out two batters in a 1-2-3 bottom of the first inning. Little breeze, not much, blowing out towards left field. Ham again winds and deals, and the pitch is fouled off. Schnell had one to handle there, or so it looked at the top of the strike zone on the inside part of the plate. We have seen a lot of damage done on pitches just off the plate inside to right-handed and left-handed batters. 1-2 is the line back up the middle on a short hop, or a one long hop, pardon me, to Jarvis, the shortstop, and he throws on to first base in time for the out, went away. And after all that, what I really tried to say was a kind of a skip hop that he backed up on. Or I say this a lot, but for well over 100 years, that was a leadoff single.
I don't know how you feel, but I'm still naturally programmed to think off the bat that that's a base hit, even though it rarely is nowadays.
Caden Wallace stands in the first pitch as a strike. I'm in the camp that I'd be okay with them not being allowed to be just off to the side of the bag. They've tried the...
Yeah, the little pie.
They've tried the pie out there, swing and a miss by Wallace, and it's 0-2. And I think there should be an area that if a batter hits it and he does what he's supposed to do,
yes,
maybe it should be a hit.
I tend to agree with you.
They have hitters defensed so well now. And pitchers, as the 0-2 pitch, not only do they defense hitters better now, but pitchers are better than ever before. It's harder and harder to hit. Another 0-2, and that one is popped up. This is out into shallow center field. Jarvis calling everyone off the shortstop. He puts it away, two outs. I go back to something that Freddie Freeman said when he was still with the Braves about the rules and the shifting. And he said, listen, if I hit the ball to the second baseman and he's in shallow right field, that's my fault. But if I hit the ball right back up the middle, which is what I've been taught to do my entire life,
right.
And that guy standing there as Jeremy De La Rosa stands in, and the first pitch is swung out and missed, and that guy standing there, that needs to change. And he said, and all these people that say, well, why don't you go up there and do something different? You try it. The 0-1 is a strike, 0-2.
Well, often if you hit the ball back up the middle, it's because you struck it well and on time.
Wind up and the 0-2 is a ground ball on the left side of the infield to the third baseman at the shortstop position. He throws to first in time for the out. Six up and six down for Jaden Hamm. We head to the third, and there is no score on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400.
Next, I got down here on the field with Brock and Audra. They're going to be facing off against Andrew.
top half of the third inning, and here is Frankie Vernowski.
We're scoreless on the island as Kate Cavalli is out for his third inning of work in his rehab. He's facing the eighth-place batter, Jim Jarvis, in the left-handed box. And the first pitch is low and inside for a ball, 1-0. One base runner against Cade through the first two innings. There was a one-out single from Max Anderson in the first. Cavalli has struck out two. He steps into the windup and deals a fastball inside, 2-0. Jarvis had a good ball game yesterday afternoon, 2-for-4, drove in a couple, scored a couple, helping the Seawolves top the Senators 10-3 yesterday. The 2-0, breaking pitch, a check swing, they appeal, he did not go. Looked like they nearly got him there, at least Jarvis's body broke, but that's not the part that counts. Held the bat up just enough, according to Jalen Goodman up the line. And the 3-0, fastball, that's a strike. 95, 3-1. Ninth-place batter Ben Malgeri on deck, and the top of the order with Carlos Mendoza to follow him. Cavalli looking into Romero, and the 3-1. Fastball bounced to the left side. Therefore, Wallace about halfway between second and third. Fields and throws to first in time. One away. A few of the, I think that's the third ground ball now that I'm writing 5-3 in my book, even though the third baseman was playing just about where the shortstop is conventionally. There's been a fly or two that, despite the fact that we have these big windows. Anyway, here's Ben Malgeri, right-hand batter. He takes a breaking ball low, 1-0. We have these big windows, and they keep just flying in. Go somewhere else. There is no food for you here, fly. Rather annoying and distracting. The 1-0, a swing and a miss. Got him with, I think, the changeup low and inside, 3-1. A ball and a strike. I'm all distracted by these two flies. Terry got one of them. 1-1. There it is. A fastball strike, 1-2.
Well, they've been they've just been lazily flying around us.
It's
I'm tired of it.
I know, yes. 1-2. Swing and a miss. Got him to chase low out of the zone on an 87-mile-an-hour slider. His third strikeout, one time through the order. Scoreless game, top three. Base is empty and two outs. Well, that fly is resilient. And here's the leadoff man. Carlos Mendoza in the left-handed box. Righty-lefty matchup. Cavalli's pitch. Breaking ball fouled into his leg. Nothing at one.
I think these are flies from the dinosaur age because, I don't know, I'm beginning to wonder if there's something dead in the booth because we have quite a few flies in
here.
Yes,
there's. I did shower this morning. The 0-1 is up and away, 1-1. If it's not one thing, it's another. The 1-1. He shows bunt, and he misses on the attempt. He tried to push it up the third baseline as he was running out of the box, and now he's got to defend. It's a ball and two strikes. Cavalli has retired seven batters in a row. And the 1-2. Is tapped to the right side of the mound. Cavalli's over for it, and he says, hey, I got it, and runs it the whole way to the bag himself. We're out number three. It's another PPL Electric Utilities Energy Efficient 1-2-3 inning. Visit SaveWithPPL.com to learn how you can be energy efficient, too. To the last of the third, it's the Senators nothing, the Seawolves nothing on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Last of the third inning in Harrisburg, Frankie Bernowski and Terry Byram with you. Scoreless between the Senators and the Seawolves. Right-hander Jaden Hamm against the bottom third of the Sens order. First, Cortland Lawson in the right-handed box takes the ball high out of the zone. At 92, it's 1-0. Six up, six down for Hamm thus far. The 1-0. Fastball check swing. It was high out of the zone. The appeal, he did not go. 2-0. Cortland playing for the first time in this series. Last played Sunday in the Senators' 3-0 win over New Hampshire. The 2-0, swinging and a miss. Out in front of an off-speed delivery on the outside. 2-1. And he hit his first career double-A home run in that ball game Sunday afternoon. The 2-1. Misses. Below the knees at 84. Changeup. Lawson ahead. Three balls and a strike. Into the windup, Hamm deals. A fastball strike on the inside, up in the zone at 91. And he's run the count full, three balls, two strikes. He shakes off his battery mate once. And the payoff pitch, breaking ball, taken for strike three, and Lawson knew it. Frozen with a curveball up at 81. His third strikeout, out number one in the third. Here's Max Romero Jr. sweeping up some dirt in the left-handed batter's box. Max last played Tuesday night, went 0-for-3 in that game. It's his 10th game played this season. The pitch to him, misses outside, 1-0. After tonight, we're halfway through this series, but still three more chances for you to come out to the ballpark. The 1-0 is high and inside, 2-0. 7 o'clock ball game tomorrow night with post-game fireworks. Then we got 6 o'clock game Saturday night with the Boardwalk Bash pregame. And then Sunday, 1 o'clock, Hershey Park ticket giveaway as the 2-0 rolls in there for a strike, a breaking ball at 81 miles an hour. It's 2-1. The 2-1, low, 3-1. He's fallen behind both batters of the inning, 3-1. And I believe that the weather is going to continue to be as gorgeous as it has been to start this series. So you really have no excuse not to come out. The 3-1 fouled back and to the right, 3-2. Tonight's Dollar Dog Night, which is always one of the best nights at the ballpark. Payoff pitch, fouls it back, defending on a fastball high out of the zone at 92, holding 3-2. This is unbelievable with these flies. Another 3-2. Oh, it's launched deep down the right field line. Campos looking back. That one is way out of here. Home run, Max Romero, his first of the year for the Senators. And Harrisburg leads 1-0 in the third. Well, Terry, we were talking about pitches on the inside earlier doing damage. Well, that was a curveball, thigh high on the inside, and he launched it.
It hit that ball an estimated 408 feet to straightaway right field, which is really hard to do in a really long way.
Yeah, it cleared the boardwalk beyond the Senators' bullpen out there. And the Senators have the lead. Here's Philip Glasser stepping into the left-handed box. It's the first lead the Sens have had this week. Righty-lefty matchup. The pitch to Glasser. High and away, 1-0. Philip has really made the most of his time in the lineup when he gets it. It's just his 10th game played, but he's batting 382. As he fouls back the next pitch, a fastball. It's 1-1. Had a double and a run scored in yesterday afternoon's game, and he's really made the most of his playing time. The 1-1. Slaps it foul. Backhand to the left. 1-2. Top of the order waiting on deck. So the first base runner against Hamm, a home run. Romero's first Senators home run. after that foul ball. Glasser had called time. It stepped out for a brief moment. The 1-2. High out of the zone. 2-2. Nobody on. One out. Bottom three. Working quickly here. The 2-2. Breaking ball inside. Glasser turned his back out of the way of that one. And yet another full count. 3-2 to all three batters of the inning. Payoff pitch. Fastball fouled back. Holding 3-2. This next pitch will be the 20th of the inning for him, who needed just 25 pitches to get through the first two. 3-2. Fastball poked foul left side. Glasser just smacking it foul to stay alive. It was 93 on the outside corner. Another good at-bat here in the third. Payoff pitch. Popped up. Foul territory right side. Couple Seawolves give chase, but they'll have no play. As you hear it clank into the bleacher seating of the L.B. Smith seats, first base side. Ninth pitch of the at-bat coming. Fastball fouled away up into the sweet level. Another fastball at 93 right on the outside corner. Glasser really making Ham work. And in particular, if he gets on here, really setting up the top of the order well. Yet another 3-2. It's low for ball four. Just missing with a breaking ball, and Glasser wins that long battle as the 10th pitch puts him on first. That's tough for any pitcher to keep throwing. I mean, those were good pitches by Ham. A few fastballs perfectly placed on the outside. That was a good curveball, too. And just a better take by Glasser. So he's on first, one out. Sends leading 1-0 in the third. Here's Dalen Lyle, and the left-hand batter ducks out of the way of the first pitch. Fastball up and inside at 92. It's 1-0. And now we'll have a stoppage as Tyron Lorenzo and Dan Riccobal, the Erie pitching coach, are out to try and reset Jaden Ham, the 22-year-old right-hander, who was just cruising along before Romero launched that curveball out of here. And then Philip Glasser did not make things any easier, forcing him to throw 10 pitches, and he walked him. And now home plate umpire Stone Garver is out to tell them their time is up. There is right-handed action beginning to warm in the Erie bullpen. Remember yesterday, the third inning was where... Well, Terry, I know you remember.
It was Wednesday.
Yes, indeed it was. It was Wednesday, the 23rd of April.
2025.
In the year of our Lord, 2025. Anyway, yesterday in the third inning was where a lot of the action happened. Both teams scored three runs. The Senators knocked Troy Melton out of the ballgame after that inning. So one-on-one out, 1-0 to Lyle. And he lines it out in the right field. It falls for a base hit. Played on a hop by Campos, who fires it into second. But Glasser's well ahead of it. He's to second. And Lyle on first. Still with one out. Dalen is 4-for-10 in this series. And he has had, he's clearly heated up. So first and second with one out for Dante Williams, left-hand batter. Dante struck out swinging his first time up. 1-0 Senators bottom three. Ham setting the stretch. Deals a fastball inside at 92, 1-0. He's ready to fire out there. Immediately toes the rubber upon getting the ball back. He's set at the belt. The 1-0 breaking ball inside, a curveball. at 80 miles an hour. That missed 2-0.
His last outing on the 18th against Akron, he went 4 2/3 inning and threw 78 pitches, 50 strikes.
Which is a good ball to strike ratio, but he's over 50 pitches now here in the third. The 2-0 is lined out to left field. It's down for a base hit. All runners proceed 90 feet, and the bases are loaded with only one out.
Yeah, no chance for Glasser there. He had to freeze just to be sure, and even if he would have gone on contact, no chance he was scoring on that.
Yeah, the ball was hit hard the opposite way by Williams, and Bigby did not have far to go to field. So here's Yo-Yo Morales. But he'll have to wait, as indeed we have our first Dafler call to the bullpen, as the Senators have knocked Jaden Hamm out of the ballgame here in the third. They lead 1-0. The bases are loaded. There's only one out and a pitching change when we come back on ESPN 96.5, 95.3 at 1400. Last of the third inning in Harrisburg, the Senators have loaded the bases. There's only one out, and they've already taken a 1-0 lead in the frame. Right-handed throwing, Troy Watson is on, and this Dafler call to the bullpen, and the first man to face him is Yo-Yo Morales. Before even beginning, Watson had to step off with just a couple of seconds remaining on the pitch clock. Glasser leads from third, Lyle from second, Williams from first. Righty-righty matchup. First pitch, fastball up and in at 97, fouled back. It's 1-0. Watson appearing in his sixth game for the Seawolves. He is 0-1. He has walked five and allowed five runs in just seven innings of work. From the third base side of the rubber, the 0-1 is chopped up the middle of the infield, past the backhand of Anderson into center field for a base hit. Glasser scores. Lyle around, he scores. Williams to third, and Morales on first with the two RBI base hit. It's 3-0 Harrisburg in the third. Got a fastball, caught a lot of plate above the knees, and hit it hard on a couple of high bouncing balls that Max Anderson, the second baseman, just could not get to. And the Senators do a good job here in the third inning of continuing to move the line. That is now five straight base runners. So Nick Schnell now stands in the left-handed box, with the Senators still having men on the corners and only one out. Watson's pitch to him, lined on one hop past Anderson into right center for a base hit. Williams scores. Morales on a third, and Schnell aboard with an RBI hit. Four runs home in the inning, and it's 4-0. A home run, a walk, and now four straight singles. And the carousel keeps going round as Morales is on third, Schnell on first. Still only one out. Caden Wallace, right-hand batter. Watson ready. And the pitch. Check swing on a ball low and away. The appeal, he did not go, holding up just enough on that breaking ball on the off the outside at 85. The 1-0 with the runner going from first. It's a strike. The throw down to second is stopped before the bag by Anderson to try to prevent Morales from breaking home. And Schnell slides in safely with the stolen base. Now a base hit could score another two. And we've seen lots of runs from the Seawolves this week, 10 runs yesterday afternoon. And so you really cannot have enough runs against this Erie squad. Second and third, one out. The Erie infield is playing in on the grass. The 1-1 is just a brief pause because there's a violation on Watson, the pitcher, for the pitch timer. And now Wallace gets a free ball. It's 2-1. Things becoming tougher and tougher for Watson out there. The 2-1. That's a strike, 2-2. All four runs in the inning, by the way, get credited to Jaden Hamm, whose ledger is now closed. 2 1/3 innings, 3 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. Watson is responsible for the men now on the base paths. Long look in. Plenty of time on the clock at this moment. And now set. 2-2. High out of the zone, not close, at 97. 3-2. Wallace is the eighth man to bat in the inning. Jeremy De La Rosa on deck. Payoff pitch. Fastball fouled back. Caught a piece of the catcher, Lorenzo. Got 97 right down the middle, and he was right on it. Just missing it. Second and third, one out. Morales, he drove in two. He's off third. Schnell drove in one. He's off second. Big lead as well. Another 3-2. Breaking ball, swing and a miss. Got her to chase low and away. So the men remain second and third, now two outs. It's 4-0 Harrisburg, bottom three. And up to Jeremy De La Rosa to keep the line moving. Righty-lefty matchup. The second out gives the Seawolves infield the chance to play back again. Pitch, breaking ball, strike at 89 miles an hour over the outside. It's nothing at one. That's the type of pitch to smack the other way if you're De La Rosa, who did have an opposite field base hit in yesterday's game. The third baseman, Mendoza, is halfway to second base. The 0-1. Low. Missing with an off-speed delivery. It's 1-1. Cortland Lawson, who led off this inning, waits on deck. Already 4 runs on 5 hits in the frame. The 1-1, fastball up and away. I forgot to mention that the third inning is presented by Nomad Distilling. Proudly made in Pennsylvania. Enjoy their taste. Find Nomad Distilling in select fine wine and good spirit stores. Well, the Nomad Distilling third inning has treated the Senators well yesterday and today. And the 2-1, breaking ball low, 3 balls and a strike. Seawolves have thrown a ton of pitches in the inning. Hamm had to labor with 28 pitches, and Watson's thrown another 13. So quick math would say that's over 40 pitches here in the third. The 3-1, chopped on the right side. 2 long hops for Anderson, who's a couple steps on the grass to field, and he throws to first in time for the third out. But the Senators do take the lead with 4 runs, 5 hits, no errors. They leave 2 in scoring position. On to the fourth, it's the Senators 4 and the Seawolves nothing on ESPN 96.5, 95.3 and 1400. On to the fourth inning. Cade Cavalli still out there. He's thrown three shutout innings. Here's Max Anderson, right-hand batter, who takes a breaking ball in the dirt. 1-0. The Senators are leading the Seawolves 4-0 thanks to a four-run third inning. Cavalli, for his part in this rehab start, has allowed only one base runner. It was this guy, Anderson, who singled in the first. 1-0. Again in the dirt. Another breaking pitch, 2-0. Cavalli has three strikeouts, and to this point, the Seawolves, with the exception of that single, have not hit a ball to the outfield. Ground balls and strikeouts, the 2-0. Fastball, this one is to the outfield, shallow right field, high in the air as Schnell tracks it coming in. Now a little bit to his left, makes the one-hand catch, one away. And so that is nine straight retired by the big man, Cade Cavalli. Tyron Lorenzo now digging into the left-handed box. He bounced out to second base his first time up. Nobody on, one out. Cavalli toes the rubber with 10 seconds on the clock. Now peers over the mid at the sign. Steps into the windup and deals. A breaking ball that misses high and away at 83 miles an hour. 1-0. Cade Cavalli, a massively high-rated prospect coming through just a few years ago when he was here with the Sens in 2021. As the next pitch is a fastball low and in at 95. 2-0. Pitched well. Got up to AAA, then spent most of 2022 with the Rochester Red Wings. Made 20 starts in total. The 2-0. Curveball low. 3-0. But since late summer of 2022, Cade has just had tremendous misfortune with his health. The 3-0. Fastball swing and a miss, and a big swing at that. 93 up and in. Lorenzo had called time. Stepping out for a brief moment, now back in and ready to go. And a pitch. Hit on one hop past second base, but there for it is Cortland Lawson, who gobbles it up and throws on to first in time for the second out. 4-0 Harrisburg, top four. Bases empty, two away for Justice Bigby, who rolled out to Cade Cavalli his first time up. Cade is still only 26 years old, so, you know, there's still lots of good baseball potential for him. Drafted in the first round back in 2020 in that shortened draft. Here's the first pitch to Bigby. It's a curveball strike at 84 miles an hour, nothing and one. The 0-1. Chopped on the left side, and a great short hop pick nearly made by Wallace. It bounces away from him, and he recovers to make the throw to first, but it was well late. And what would have been an unbelievable play had Cade been able to make it. So that snaps the stretch of 10 in a row retired as Bigby's on with the infield single. Two low hops. It was 106 miles an hour off the bat. The second hop was short, and Wallace tried to time it up and kind of line up his body to snag it on an Olay, and he couldn't quite corral it in and out of the mitt. Cavalli, working out of the stretch, throws over to first to keep Bigby close. He's in safely. And now on the rubber to face Eliezer Alfonso, switch hitter batting left. He's 0 for 1 with a ground out. Another throw over. And with two disengagements, I have to think there's an okay chance Bigby tests it, though he has not attempted a steal yet this season. Set. First pitch to Alfonso. Fastball rolled over to second. Couple of hops for Glasser, who fields it and throws to first in plenty of time for the third out. No harm, no foul from that two-out base hit. We head to the last of the fourth and hold. The Senators 4, the Seawolves nothing on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Last of the fourth inning in Harrisburg. Senators leading the Seawolves 4-0. Right-hander Troy Watson, who came on in relief an inning ago, is back out there for the Seawolves. And Cortland Lawson in the right-handed box to face him. Pitch inside. An off-speed delivery at 84 miles an hour, 1-0. Lawson was rung up on strikes his first time up. That was against the starter, Jaden Hamm. The 1-0 fastball strike, 97. It's 1-1. The key to get out ahead early, as we mentioned, you know, coming into the game today, the Seawolves leading the season series from the Senators 5-0. The next pitch, wave and a miss, breaking ball off the plate and low, get a give to Chase, 1-2. And coming into tonight, Erie had outscored Harrisburg 36-9. In those 5 games. So roughly 7 runs to 2 per game. But the Senators leading so far tonight. 1-2, lined out to left, and Bigby holds in his tracks, then retreats a couple and makes the one-hand catch. Had Lawson played well, though Cortland hit that ball 105 miles an hour off the bat. It's just a hard out. Nobody on, one out for Max Romero, who got things going in the third. Max was the first of 6 straight 1-out base runners the Senators had. But all he did was run around the bases because he hit a bomb out to right field, his first of the year. Pitch to him, a half swing and a miss as Watson fooled him with a pitch below the knees at 87. 0-1. Romero calls time. Senators completing their second turn through the order here. Leading 4-0. The 0-1. Swing and a miss. Got him to chase even lower below the knees with that same pitch, 87 miles an hour. They're calling that in our tracker a cutter, but I'm unsure about that because it is a whole 10 miles an hour off the typical fastball from Watson. The 0-2 fastball strike rung him up on the corner at 96. So after getting to chase low below the knees, he just froze him with a good fastball on the outside for out number two. Now here's Philip Glasser with the bases empty and 2 outs. Glasser drew a walk and came around to score. on Yo-Yo Morales' base hit. The pitch. Low and then off the mid of Lorenzo into the backstop, 1-0. 76 degrees reads the scoreboard. Gentle breeze, some clouds in the air. It's a beautiful night for baseball. The 1-0. Wave and a miss. A back foot slider at 87, and it's 1-1. Good sharp break. Diving to the back foot. And Glasser calls time. Outfield playing Phillip the opposite way. Infield has him to pull. We see this configuration frequently. Not just for Glasser, but for most batters, really. The 1-1. Breaking pitch low. Couldn't get him to chase. That was the pitch he got Romero with twice. Glasser spits at it. It's 2-1. Pitch. Pass ball, bounce to the right side, and through for a base hit. Just past the stretch of Anderson, the second baseman, and Glasser does what he's been doing this young season, gets a base hit. He's aboard with two outs. Senator's sixth hit of the evening. So that turns things over to the top of the order with Dalen Lyle, who is 1-for-2, singled and scored his last trip to the plate. As Glasser leads from first. 4-0 Harrisburg, bottom four. Watson throws over at Glasser, who gets back in safely ahead of the tag. Dalen now batting .310 on the year with his base hit. Phillip Glasser now batting .400. A couple guys who are red hot. First pitch to Lyle. In the dirt, 1-0. Meanwhile, there's at least not that I've seen. There's been no one warming in the Senators' bullpen, so I think we will still be treated to some more Cade Cavalli, who's pitched quite well through his four innings. The 1-0, a chopped ball off the third baseman Mendoza and out into left field for a base hit. He got handcuffed, and it just hit off of him and into left field, and it's currently being ruled, well, we'll see. Being considered. No ruling yet. That's a tough play for Mendoza. The ball was hit 109 miles an hour off the bat. And similar to Caden Wallace last inning, he just got handcuffed and don't think he had much of an opportunity to cleanly field that ball. Dalen Lyle, boy, he's been hitting the ball hard. Even the ground balls are 109 miles an hour. So here's Dante Williams, righty-lefty matchup. Pitch to him here, a strike on the low outside corner at 87. It's nothing and one. And that is an E5 on Mendoza. Pitch is cued off the fists. Little pop-up. That makes its way to Mendoza, who makes the catch, out number three. So a hit and an error leave two on the base paths as we head on to the fifth. It's the Senators 4 and the Seawolves nothing on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Fifth inning, Senators leading the Seawolves 4-0. Kate Cavalli back on the mound. And back for the action, here's Terry Byram.
Thank you very much, Frankie. Chris Myers leads off. No action in either bullpen at the moment as Cavalli winds and deals, and the pitch is low for a ball, 1-0. Really a nice evening in a really good crowd.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Who wouldn't want to be out at the ballpark tonight?
$1 hot dogs and $2 drafts. The 1-0 pitch is a strike, 1-1.
It's a beautiful night. The Senators are leading.
One ball and one strike. Myers bounced to second base his first time up. The 1-1, swing and a miss, 1-2. Tomorrow is a 7 o'clock start. Supposed to be another nice day. Fireworks after the ball game. Who doesn't like fireworks?
Right. We got you covered here at FNB Field. No way, no reason to go anywhere else this summer.
One ball, two strikes. The windup in here is the 1-2. And line softly back to Cavalli, who makes the catch, and there is one out.
He's issued a couple of jam jobs tonight on fastballs that have resulted in weak ground balls near the mound, or in that case, a weak line drive back to the mound.
One out, and here is Roberto Campos. He struck out swinging his first time up. 4-0. The Senators on top on this Thursday night. Wind up and the first pitch. Swing and a miss at a breaking ball down and away, and it's 0-1. Senators go on the road next week to Reading. Back for Richmond, then to Altoona the next few weeks. Fairly easy travel for a while. The 0-1 pitch misses, one ball and one strike.
Yeah, I look forward to joining you on these next few road trips, Terry.
You are?
I am.
Oh. Can't wait to push me out the door. One ball and one strike.
Wow.
So you'll be in Reading all next week, right?
Yes.
The 1-1 is pulled on the ground foul, and the count is 1-2. That's a really nice view to broadcast
yes.
a game and a really bad booth to broadcast it from.
I love going there.
Yeah. One ball, two strikes. The windup and the 1-2 pitch. That's high. The visiting radio booth is also the IT closet.
Yeah.
And the counter is only about a foot wide, which is small by all the standards there are. So it's a tough place to have to put stuff down. The 2-2 is low for a ball, 3-2. But it's a nice viewpoint.
It is.
Behind home plate at the top of the seating bowl that is quite old.
I like the ballpark. We usually see exciting games.
3-2 misses inside, ball four. First walk issued by Cavalli. A man on with one out, and here is Jim Jarvis.
Shortstop Jim Jarvis.
I mean, we typically see at least one crazy game in the week that's there just because of the nature of the ballpark being so small, all the big swings.
Left-handed batter waits. And the pitch is chopped over the head of Morales, but foul along the first baseline. Count is 0-1.
And we got a spider coming into the booth, and that spider clearly not doing its job because...
Right. Don't spiders eat flies?
Yes. We're doing your work, Mr. Spider.
Do anteaters eat flies?
I have no idea.
They have those long tongues.
I know, yeah.
There was a cartoon with an anteater in it. Now I don't remember what cartoon that was. Noble Hall's in a strike, one out. I have to think about it. The 0-1. Swing and a miss on a breaking ball down and in, and the count is 0-2.
Arthur.
Oh, there's two flies just right above me. I just don't know.
This is unbelievable. Yeah, it's just.
I don't know where they're all coming from.
They're just multiplying.
They are multiplying. It's lunacy with the flies. Throw over to first base and back in with a head first dive is Campos. Look, I've been in this booth now 15 years, and I don't know that there's been this many flies in the booth in the 15 years that combined. It's crazy. 0-2. There is action beginning in the Senators' bullpen. Cavalli's 0-2 is hit high in the air into left field along the line into foul territory. Daylen Lyle makes the catch on the warning track and then takes a look at first base because Campos was halfway to second. Two down on the foul flyout, and here is Ben Malgeri.
I came to a point where with where that ball was hit, I'm unsure why Campos was so close to second base there.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
He finished 25 feet into foul territory.
Well, he finished on the warning track, so that tells you, I mean, he was a long way in foul territory for Campos to still be out where he was. So two outs and a runner at first. Malgeri waits, and the first pitch is in for a strike. Oh and one. We're in the top half of the fifth inning. And the funny thing is there's no flies in the visiting radio booth, and they're right next to us.
They keep looking over here, wonder why we're banging on the windows.
Yeah, they think I'm crazy. Well, they know that. Still crazy after all these years. The 0-1 pitch is in for a strike, 0-2.
You know, yesterday you dropped some Nina Simone. And today some Paul Simon. It's a good stretch, Terry.
Yeah. Yep. No balls and two strikes, two outs. Do it again. The 0-2 is a check swing, and it doesn't go around. Romero can't believe that that's not a swing.
When you see a guy's wrists completely break, as did Malgeri's, it tends to be the indication that indeed he swung.
So it's one ball and two strikes. Cavalli ready, and the 1-2 is up and in, and this breaking ball nearly hits him, 2-2. Cade is about to throw his 68th pitch. Not sure who is loosening up in the bullpen. It might be Ivan Armstrong. 2-2, breaking ball, strike, three called. And that froze Malgeri. So as Sherwin Williams paint the corner, called strike three. There's a walk and a man left. We head to the bottom of the fifth, halfway home. 4-0 Senators on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400.
This is now time for the
bottom half of the fifth inning. It's 4-0. The Senators on top. And for the Senators, Yo-Yo Morales, Nick Schnell, and Caden Wallace. Out on the mound is still Troy Watson. He came in the bottom of the third inning. He works into the stretch and delivers to Morales high for a ball. Watson has gone an inning and two-thirds and at this point has thrown 30 pitches. One ball, no strikes. He works out of the stretch at all times. Third base side of the rubber, and the 1-0 is hit in the air to left and hit well. Bigby going back, and he jumps, and he makes the catch, crossing onto the warning track out near the 355 side. Morales hit that ball hard and just didn't have the right launch angle.
Well, that ball was not hit very high, to your point. So Bigby didn't have much time to get back there. That was a fine play.
103 miles an hour off the bat of Yo-Yo Morales. He's now 1-for-3. Nick Schnell stands in, left-handed batter. He's 1-for-2 with an RBI. And the first pitch is lined to right. It's a base hit. So Schnell with a couple of hits now has 6 in the series. And here is Caden Wallace. Wallace has bounced to shortstop and struck out.
Well, he jumped on that first pitch that was belt high, inner third. And I was making that point earlier that Schnell will swing freely in the count if he gets a pitch to hit. Well, he got one there.
Lead at first by Schnell, pardon me. Watson delivers, and the pitch is fouled off by Wallace out of play along the right field line, 0-1.
And with that hit, Schnell's average bumps a few points over 300 because past the opening weekend, Nick Schnell has played very well.
0-1, the 0-1. That's lined to left for a base hit. 3 hard hit balls. Back-to-back singles on the last two. The first one was caught on the warning track. And 2 on and 1 out for Jeremy De La Rosa. That is the 8th hit of the night for the Senators. Leading 4-0. After what we have seen of Erie, though, out of the 5 games, 2 different times they've scored 10 runs. I'm not sure that you have a lead that you feel comfortable about.
Just keep scoring until the game is over.
De La Rosa has bounced out twice. Watson, the right-hander, sets and deals, and the first pitch is a fastball strike. Count is 0-1.
Good speed out there at second base.
Schnell and Wallace. And stepping off is Watson. Cade Wallace has good speed as well at first base. Watson, the right-hander, sets and deals, and that pitch is popped up. Infield fly rule should be called, and it is. It's the third baseman, Mendoza, to make the catch, and there are 2 outs.
Shortstop,
2 down, and here is Cortland Lawson. Lawson has struck out and hit the ball fairly hard to the left fielder, Justice Bigby. Schnell at second with Wallace at first. The right-hander, Troy Watson, sets and deals, and the pitch is fouled off out of play into the luxury suite level and bouncing around back down into the stands. A couple of kids go after it.
Well, that was tough. There was a woman who was climbing over Rose to try and get there, and someone else beat her to it.
0-1. The 0-1 is in for a strike, a breaking ball, and the count is 0-2. Maxwell Romero Jr. waiting on deck. No balls, 2 strikes, and 2 outs. The 0-2 pitch, low win away, 1-2. There, at the moment, is no action in the Senators' bullpen, so maybe Cavalli going back out in the 6th inning. 1-2. And the 1-2 pitch. That's high. Nice take by Lawson. 2-2. That pitch just out of the strike zone. Two balls and 2 strikes. Watson again sets and deals, and that pitch is pulled on the ground foul. A breaking ball that Lawson was all over, just down in front of it.
Yeah, it was over the middle, just above the knees. good pitch to do something with.
Cortland looking to provide a two-out RBI for the Senators with a base hit. Watson sets, and again the runners lead first and second, and another 2-2 is up and in, and that catches the umpire. Oh, my goodness.
Square in the mask.
I think that was a ball, and it's 3-2.
Yeah, it clipped off something. I'm guessing the edge of Lorenzo's mitt, being as though Lawson did not react. And, yeah, I think it just hit Stone Garver square in the mask. And this is after 2 days ago when Jalen Goodman was behind the plate and – or, excuse me, Elliot Melton behind the plate, and he took a ball square off his knee.
Yeah, that ball just looked like it missed everything.
Yeah.
Didn't hit the glove at all. I'm not sure what's happening with the catchers that.
Yeah, boy. Hope he's all right. Don Neidig, the Senators trainer, is out tending to him, and one of Garver's partners is trying to redo his mask. I think it knocked a clip off.
He looks okay, though.
Good shot of Kate Cavalli, who's made his way out to the bullpen. So
I think that means we probably will have a pitching change in the top half of the sixth inning. But for now, still trying to tend to the mask of Stone Garver.
Well, on the Cavalli front, the Nats front office has to be pretty happy with what they've seen from Cade today, because it was a pretty free and easy throwing from Cavalli, and a good amount of strikes, only the one walk, couple of base hits. He was just cruising along, very little hard contact against him. Definitely a successful rehab start for him.
I would think there's a pretty good chance that he'll move on and rehab with Rochester a few times. I think it's a month's worth of rehabs for pitchers. I think position players 3 weeks, and pitchers get 30 days or 31 days, something like that. So it's 3 balls and 2 strikes after all that. It looks like Stone Garver, the home plate umpire, is okay. Lorenzo, the catcher, is out in front of home plate telling the infielders the runners are going, make the play to first base. 3-2, Lawson waits. And the 3-2 is low and outside, ball four, and the bases are loaded for Maxwell Romero Jr. Well, a long home run in the third inning and struck out in the fourth.
I was going to say, Watson, he's not going to excuse that walk, but that's a tough spot for a pitcher to run to a full count, 3-2, and then to have to wait a few minutes just for action to restart. You've only got one chance to go back after the hitter now, and you miss.
Yeah, that was probably a good two-minute or so break, and he didn't play catch at all.
No. And good chance for Romero to really crack the game open. The Senators had a hit in their first three at-bats with runners in scoring position, but over their last four in these situations.
Romero chatting with Philip Glasser in the on-deck circle, and now Garver, the home plate umpire, heading out to the mound. Dan Rickaball is still out there, the pitching coach for Erie, still chatting with Troy Watson.
Max Romero has a couple of deep doubles here at FNB Field early this season, out to the 405 mark in right center field. Well, that would certainly do the job to clear the bases here.
Romero standing in. Watson out on the mound. Max batting left-handed. Runners lead all three bases. And the first pitch is right there for a strike. I think Romero is upset. I think he talked himself into that would not be a fastball. So he's down at the count 0-1. Watson ready again, and the 0-1 pitch. Breaking ball this time, and a nice take as that's down and in. Watson trying to get Romero to be aggressive on that pitch. One ball, one strike. There is action out in Erie's bullpen. The right-hander sets and deals. And it's a bouncing ball to the shortstop, Jarvis, and he steps on the bag, and that ends the inning. The Senators load the bases but don't score. We go to the sixth, 4-0 Harrisburg on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400.
This Ralston Bullpen is brought to you by Tackleby Cooling and Solar. Now on the mound for the Butterflies is number 11, Miguel Gomez.
Top half of the sixth inning, it's a Daffler call to the bullpen, and Frankie Bernowski will tell you all about it.
Terry, it's right-handed throwing Miguel Gomez out there on the mound to face the top of the order. Carlos Mendoza, Max Anderson, and Tyron Lorenzo. Gomez, the right-hander, first against the left-hand hitting Mendoza, throws a strike at 85 miles an hour over the middle, above the knees, nothing and one. So Cade Cavalli in his rehab, 5 shutout innings. A couple of hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. He looked good. Mendoza calls time at the plate. Mendoza had a huge game at the plate yesterday. 5 plate appearances. He drew a couple of walks, a sac fly, RBI base hit and run scored, a home run all over the scorecard. Fastball inside at 92. It's 1-1. But today he's 0 for 2. As the Senators try to keep the momentum Cade Cavalli had in shutting down this offense. A big swing and a miss at an off-speed delivery down the middle at 85, 1-2. 4 runs in the third for the Senators. They lead 4-0. Pitch, swing and a miss. Got him to chase low and makes quick work of Mendoza. Nice work by Gomez there. One away. Kept going after him with the changeup. Here's Max Anderson. He's 1 for 2 today. Singled and has flied out to right. Righty-righty matchup. Gomez set at the belt, working out of the stretch at all times. He deals a ball off the low outside corner at 93, 1-0. The 1-0. Fastball tapped off his foot and then out to the mound. 1-1. Checking in on some scores. The Nats are trailing the Orioles in Washington 2-1 in the sixth. Now, Terry, did you see that home run that James Wood hit in last night's game?
No, where did he hit it?
He hit it off the facing of the second deck in right field and hit it 116 miles an hour. Fastball misses out off the outside. It's 2-1. It is the hardest hit home run in Nats Park since they started tracking in 2015. As Anderson fouls off the next pitch, a fastball, it's 2-2. And he is, James, that is, has had a real good start to the year. That power is now comfortably showing itself. 2-2, swing and a miss. And Anderson out in front of the off-speed delivery. 83 miles an hour over the inside. He struck out both batters. Terry, I just realized something. The Senators scored four runs, which means that we all score 50% off a regular menu price pizza at Papa John's tomorrow.
Yummy. Yummy, yummy.
Tyron Lorenzo in the left-handed box takes the ball inside, 1-0. Head online or visit local participating Papa John's using code SENATORS50 to redeem your discount. Restrictions may apply. Get your half-off pizza tomorrow. The 1-0 misses low and inside, 2-0. Pizza night on Friday night, that's a good game plan. The 2-0 to Lorenzo misses outside, 3-0, with the dangerous Justice Bigby waiting on deck. Misses. Low and outside, a fastball at 91. And after two quick and easy strikeouts, completely loses Lorenzo with a four-pitch walk. Seawolves do walk a lot. Fourth in the league coming into today in walks. Just the second issued by the Senators. Senators have issued the fourth most walks in the league, as the first pitch to Bigby misses low and outside to the right-hand batter. Breaking ball, 1-0. So five straight out of the zone. Gomez set. 1-0. Breaking ball lined out to center field. Over a few strides to his right is Dante Williams, who is playing Bigby deeply, and he makes the catch for the third out. No harm from the two-out walk. We head to the last of the sixth, and it remains the Senators 4 and the Seawolves nothing on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Last of the sixth inning in Harrisburg, Senators leading the Seawolves 4-0. Frankie Bernowski and Terry Byram with you, and thanks for joining us and making us a part of your Thursday evening, wherever you may be. Daffler call to the bullpen brings on right-handed throwing Matt Merrill for Erie, and the first to face him is Philip Glasser, ready for the pitch in the left-handed box. Here it comes. Low 1-0. He relieves Troy Watson, who threw 2 2/3 scoreless innings despite allowing five hits and a walk in that time. Merrill set at the belt, working out of the stretch. He deals a fastball inside at 92. It's 2-0. Merrill is 26 years of age from Tulsa, Oklahoma. stands 6'4", 200 on the mound. A 2-0. Fastball spanked foul left side and into the construction zone. 2-1. Merrill making his fifth appearance of the year, fourth in relief. Just 4 2/3 innings of work so far. 3 hits, 3 runs, 4 walks. That's a lot of base runners. 2-1. Fastball grounded foul left side, 2-2. Glasser's 1-for-1. He walked and scored a part of the Senators' 4-run third inning and then singled in the fourth. Top of the order waiting on deck. Right-hander ready. Pitch. Breaking ball in the dirt. Easy layoff for Glasser to run the count full. 3-2. Payoff pitch. Fastball, spoiled foul. Out of play off to the left, holding 3-2. The walk that Glasser drew in the third inning came on the 10th pitch. He kept fouling off pitches from the starter, Jaden Hamm. He just has a good, short, protective swing, which gives him great bat control. And another 3-2. Fastball, weakly tapped to the left side, charging hard. The third baseman, Mendoza, bare hands on the grass, throws to first. It's in time. Close play, and a real nice play made by Mendoza over at the third. He had a long way to come in for that and perfectly played it. One away. Fair to say that that's a robbed base hit. So nobody on, one out. As we turn over to the top of the order for the fourth time tonight with Dalen Lyle in the left-handed box. Dalen's 1-for-3 with a run scored. Reached on an error his last time. Swings through a first pitch fastball up in the zone at 94. Nothing at one. Dalen has his average up to 306. 0-1. Fouled back. Nothing at two. Field with the shift on. Mendoza pretty much to the shortstop position over at third base. I think 0-2 fouled away off to the left and out of play. Again landing on the unfinished roof of the Senators incoming clubhouse.
There's two baseballs up there now for the hard hat guys tomorrow morning.
They were laying some concrete today. Another 0-2. Again, fouled over there. Maybe a third for them. Well, I think that one bounced off.
No, I would guess that one stayed. Boy, after it bounces once, it hits whatever is up there, and it just stops. I think it's already up there for concrete.
I think so.
The rebar. Won't be Jimmy Hoffa, but there'll be baseballs.
Another 0-2. Low. 1-2. Nobody on, one out. 1-2. Taken just below the knees at 94. I don't know how he laid off that one. 2-2. Merrill holding the baseball behind his backside as he shuffles the laces, now brings the hands together. 2-2. Grounded sharply but right to second base where Anderson has it and throws on to first in time. Two away. Even when Lyle is retired, he's been hitting the ball hard these last couple of weeks. Base is empty. 2 outs for Dante Williams, the left-hand batter. Dante is 1-for-3 with a run scored. No runs, 2 hits, 1 error for Erie. 4 runs, 8 hits, no errors for Harrisburg. Bottom of the sixth. Merrill's pitch to Williams floats out of the hand, high out of the zone. Breaking pitch at 78, well high, 1-0. Yo-Yo Morales would be next. The 1-0, well outside, 2-0. The 2-0 misses low below the knees at 94, and Williams can now just sit back on a pitch he likes. Infield has him shifted as well. The 3-0 to him, taking all the way, a fastball strike up in the zone over the outside. Not a great pitch to swing at, so it's 3-1. And the pitch. Spoiled foul left side. Lifting it into the air. Again into the construction zone.
On the new concrete.
On the newly laid concrete on the first level. They were using these machines I don't know how to quite describe to level out the concrete. They kind of seemed like they operated like hovercrafts almost. 3-2 is fouled away. Deep down the left field line. Slicing out of play.
And that's in the that just went right down into
and
the
stuck.
Construction and stuck. Yeah, I told you that rebar. They are going to have a field day tomorrow with baseball.
Yeah, they can play a whole game with what's over there now. Another 3-2. Fastball pulled on the ground, first baseline, and a diving stop made by Myers, who runs to the bag to beat Williams for the third out. Two real fine defensive plays by the Seawolves in the inning. And so we head on to the seventh with the score holding. The Senators 4, the Seawolves nothing on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. On to the seventh inning on the island. Miguel Gomez back on the mound. Back for the action. Here is Terry.
Thank you very much, Frankie. It's the first pitch from Miguel Gomez to Eliezer Alfonso is high for a ball. 1-0. Gomez struck out 2, walked 1 in the sixth inning. Alfonso is 0-2 in the ballgame. Left-handed batter, and he swings and misses at an off-speed pitch, and the count is 1-1. Top of the seventh, 4-0. The Senators are on top. 1-1 pitch misses outside, 2-1. Senators have certainly had chances. They scored 4 in the third and had runners at second and third and one out. Didn't score further. The 2-1 is a broken back ground ball left side. Backhanded at third by Wallace. Throws off balance to first. It's wide and past. Yo Morales. Looked like for a moment Alfonso was going to go to second base and then had to scurry back to first, but he had made the turn, so he had to get back there before the Senators could throw behind him.
Senators lucky that he is only on first base. That's often one of those where if you're clearly not going to get the guy out and the throw's coming offline, the first baseman usually gets off the bag, kind of tries to get in front of the ball, block it a little bit like a catcher. That one just got away from Morales.
Here is Chris Myers with a runner on, and the bat exploded on that, so that was some bad luck for Miguel Gomez. Myers is 0 for 2, and the first pitch to the left-hander is high for a ball, 1-0.
Yeah, I think it hit off the very end of the bat. Broke off a good chunk of it.
One ball, no strikes. Alfonso the lead at first, and the 1-0 is taken for a strike. 93 miles an hour, 1-1. Four, 8-0 for the Senators as the 1-1 is hit deep into the night into right center field. Williams chasing, still chasing, still chasing, and that is high off the fence. To third base is Alfonso. He's being waved around, and the ball was dropped on the relay by Cortland Lawson. So scoring all the way from first base is Alfonso, and to second with a double is Myers. And they had a play on him, I think, at the plate.
Yeah, he was only a step or two beyond third base when Lawson was trying to field that throw in from Dante Williams. And Chris Myers is wondering, boy, what do I have to do to hit a ball out? He hit that 108 miles an hour, and the system estimates 415 feet out to deep right center field, but not quite.
Hit off the top of the fence at the 405 sign. Here's Roberto Campos, and the first pitch is fouled off. What the Senators have not been able to do in five games with Erie is when this happens, stop it.
Mm.
And we'll see if they can stop it here in the inning before it gets out of hand. Once Erie has started to roll, it's been hard for the Senators' pitching staff to stop the roll. Here's the 0-1. And it's grounded sharply to third, backhanded by Wallace. His throw to first is in the dirt, scooped by Morales, and there's one down. Holding at second, Chris Myers.
Kaden Wallace, we've seen him play a nice third base here the first few weeks of the season. A sharply grounded ball. He was there for it. Just got down with the backhand, looked back, the runner made the strong throw.
Jim Jarvis to the plate, left-handed batter. It's bounced to third. Hit a fly ball to left. 4-1, Senators on top, and the first pitch to Jarvis is popped up foul and out of play off to the left. He is a first pitch swinger, and that ball is into the construction zone. See into the Senators dugout on that shot as the 0-1 pitch is popped up foul over the roof behind home plate. Count 0-2. Sunday is the sweetest giveaway of the year. First 4,000 ticketed fans receive a Hershey through the gates. Receive a Hershey Park ticket. Expecting a large crowd in the nice weather on Sunday. The 0-2 swing and a miss, and there are two outs. And with two down and a runner at second, here is Ben Malgeri. Malgeri has struck out twice. Swinging and looking. Top half of the seventh inning. Gomez looking in to Romero for the sign, and now he steps off, so it's a first disengagement. Chris Myers out there at second base. First pitch. And that is popped up into shallow right. This is going to be a tough play. Racing out is Morales, crossing into foul territory. And he makes the catch. A terrific running catch by Yo-Yo Morales. A run on two hits. And Miguel Gomez did stop the roll. And a man left on base. We head to the bottom of the seventh inning, and the Senators lead 4-1 on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Bottom half of the seventh inning. Matt Merrill still out on the mound. Action in the Senators bullpen. 4-1, the Senators on top. Don't have a first base coach. Now finally somebody jogs out there. I think it might be Delino DeShields. Morales 1-for-3 with a two-run single back in the four-run inning, and he takes a pitch from Merrill that is a ball outside 1-0. Nice job by Miguel Gomez to not let the loud contact affect him and tire the next three guys. 2-0 as the pitch is low and in the dirt. Two balls, no strikes. Bottom of the seventh, and it's a 4-1 game. The Senators on top. Two balls, no strikes. Merrill delivers the 2-0, and that pitch is a ball just off the plate, and the count is three balls and no strikes. Merrill is the third pitcher of the night for the Seawolves. The 3-0, big swing and a miss, and it's 3-1. This morning I got up early and drove over to Lebanon and talked to a class at Lebanon Valley College, a media class. 3-1 pitch is in for a strike, and now it's 3-2. Morales asks for time and steps out. Spoke to them for about an hour and 10 minutes. Lots of good questions. And the 3-2 is swung on and missed, and the bat flies out of his hands and off the fencing in front of Erie's dugout. Strike three, and there is one out. That pitch was ball four, way up out of the strike zone. Yo-Yo not happy with himself, as here is Nick Schnell. Nick with two hits and three trips and an RBI. First pitch is popped up. Third base side foul territory. Mendoza racing over and doesn't have room. That ball is off the top of the dugout suites and out of play. He's playing over near shortstop. Oh, and one. Still in the 70s this evening. The 0-1, low with a breaking ball. One ball, one strike. Nick is over 300 at the moment. 304. The 1-1 pitch is a ground ball on the right side of the infield. It's to the second baseman, Max Anderson, who throws on to first in time, two away. And with two outs, nobody on base, here is Caden Wallace. He's 1-for-3. Not sure who is loosening up in the bullpen for the Senators. I think it's Holden Powell. Looks like he has the eighth inning, but I'm not positive. It's hard to tell. First offering is hit in the air into shallow center field, right center field. Now Jerry, the center fielder, moving over to his left, and he makes the catch. It's a 1-2-3 frame. We head to the eighth, and the Senators are leading 4-1 on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400.
Jackson, I'm down here.
Top half of the eighth inning, and it's a Daffler call to the bullpen. And to tell you all about that and the action is Frankie Vernowski.
Thank you, Terry. Right-hander Michael Cuevas is on to protect this 4-1 Senators lead over the Seawolves here in the eighth. First to face him, the leadoff man, Carlos Mendoza, waiting the pitch in the left-handed box. It's a breaking ball low and inside, 1-0. Mendoza is 0-3 with a couple of punch-outs today. So Miguel Gomez, for his part, goes two innings, allows a two hits, a run, walks one, and strikes out three. Cuevas with the 1-0, fastball up and in at 91, 2-0. Michael appearing in his seventh game of the year, 2-0 record, 3.52 ERA, in about eight innings of work so far. The 2-0 misses up and in, another fastball at 91. Now falling behind the leadoff man in the top of the order, 3-0. The Senators lead by three, which is nice late in the game, but 3-0, that's a strike on the high outside corner, 91, 3-1. But three runs, as we keep saying with this Seawolves offense, can quickly go away. The 3-1. Hit into the air on the left center field. Williams quickly over for it in the gap. He makes the catch on the run for the first out. Senators have quick outfielders. Dante Williams exploded on that ball right off the bat.
It had a good read on that.
I thought that might have been trouble. No worries for him, as nobody on one out brings Max Anderson to the right-handed box. He's 1-3. Just four hits for the Seawolves to this point. Righty-righty matchup, Cuevas deals. A fastball fouled back, nothing and one. That one hitting off the netting. Another foul ball into the protective netting. It's always presented by SE&M Solutions, experts in cyber and national security. The 0-1. Breaking ball tapped back to the mound. Cuevas in for it. Step off the mound, and he throws easily to first in time. Two outs. 4-1, Senators leading the Seawolves, top of the eighth. Bases empty and two outs for Tyron Lorenzo, the catcher in the left-handed box. He's 0-2 with a walk. Infield moves into the shift against him. Caden Wallace well off the line at third. Pitch. Misses just in off the plate with a breaking ball at 85. 1-0. Senators will have 6, 7, 8 in the bottom of the eighth, due up. Fastball low, inside, 2-0. There has been right-handed action warming in the Seawolves bullpen. 2-0. Misses. Outside at 90 miles an hour, 3-0. So he's fallen behind two of the three batters in the inning, 3-0. Now he got Mendoza. Brings the hands together and rests, chest high, the 3-0. That's a strike. Fastball down the middle at 93 with Lorenzo taking all the way, 3-1. Justice Bigby, who has a base hit today, waits on deck. 3-1. Fastball swing and a miss. That was on the outside above the belt at 92. Good work by Cuevas here to run the count full, 3-2. Senators are looking for their third 1-2-3 inning of the night. Kate Cavalli had a couple in the second and third. 3-2. High and away for ball four. That's the third walk issued by the Senators tonight. Prolonging things here in the eighth. So the dangerous Justice Bigby gets a chance here in this eighth inning. Righty-righty matchup. Bigby, as I mentioned, has a base hit. He's 1-3. 3-for-12 in the series with a couple of RBIs. First pitch. Fastball misses, high out of the zone, 1-0. Lorenzo a couple of steps off the first base bag. The 1-0. Breaking ball. That one falls in for a strike. Right over the inside corner at 80 miles an hour. 1-1. That's the pitch Cuevas likes to throw to the right-handed batters. The breaking pitch that starts somewhere around their hip and then comes over the inside. As the 1-1 is bounced to short. Lawson goes the short way to second to get the third out and end the inning. Nothing doing from the two-out walk. Good work by Cuevas. We head on to the last of the eighth, and we hold the Senators 4, the Seawolves 1 on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Last of the eighth inning. Senators leading the Seawolves 4-1. Dapler called to the bullpen, brings on right-handed throwing Tim Naughton for the Seawolves after Matt Merrill faced six batters and retired them all through the sixth and seventh innings. First to face Naughton is Jeremy De La Rosa, now digging into the left-handed box. Jeremy is 0-3, a couple of ground outs and a pop-up in the infield. First pitch here scoots him off the plate with an off-speed delivery inside, 1-0. Naughton is 29 years of age from Goldsboro, North Carolina. The 1-0. That one's a strike. Over the outer third at 88, 1-1. One run, four hits, an error for Erie. Four runs, eight hits, no errors for Harrisburg. Naughton set at the belt. Out of the stretch, he deals a fastball high in the zone, swinging a miss at 95, 1-2. Looks like it might be up for Marquise Grissom Jr. again for the save opportunity in the ninth. Or maybe the Senators' offense at least hoping that it isn't a save opportunity. It's the 1-2, swing and a miss. Got him to chase a breaking pitch below the knees at 86. One away. The Seawolves bullpen has retired the last eight Senators in a row since Courtland Lawson drew a two-out walk in the fifth. So here is Courtland Lawson with nobody on and one out. 0-2 with a walk. Grissom, by the way, he's 4-4 in save ops this year. The first pitch to Courtland, fouled back and to the right. Nothing and one. That one had the trajectory for the booth. Was that yesterday we almost got one or the day before? I think it was yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
Just maybe about a foot and a half too low.
Depends how you look at it.
The 0-1 swing and a miss on a cutter inside. Nothing at two. Max Romero on deck. Philip Glasser in the hole should we get that far. Naughton leaning in, bent at the waist now. Ready. The 0-2. Fastball well high. 95, 1-2. Senators scoring four runs in the third. They sent nine men to the plate. Seawolves with a run in the seventh off Miguel Gomez. 1-2. Taken for strike three, called on the inside corner at 87. That's a tough pitch. Naughton's come on and has struck out the first two men he's faced. So here's Max Romero into the left-handed box. Romero opened up the scoring with a long, long home run beyond the right field boardwalk, about 410 feet. He's 1-for-3. Righty-lefty matchup, a pitch. Chopped up the first baseline and fielded foul by Chris Myers, a couple steps into foul territory. The 0-1, swing and a miss. Good diving action on a changeup on the low outside corner at 85. And Naughton is now poised to strike out the Senators in order here in the eighth. Base is empty, two outs, Senators leading 4-1. Romero needing to defend here. No balls and two strikes. A hold. And the 0-2. Outside, missing with that changeup. Romero ready, waving the bat over his back shoulder. Naughton set, the 1-2. Fastball, hit off the fists into the air in shallow center. Out goes Jarvis, the shortstop, calls everyone off, makes the one-hand catch for out number three. Sends a retired 1-2-3 in the eighth. On to the ninth with Marquise Grissom Jr. coming in to try and save this ball game. It's the Senators 4, the Seawolves 1 on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Ninth inning in Harrisburg. The Senators are three outs away from beating the Erie Seawolves for the first time this year, Terry.
Yes, they are, Frankie. Three outs away from snapping a two-game losing streak this week and five overall to the Erie Seawolves.
It's been a well-played ball game so far.
So far it has been. Three more outs for the Senators. Marquise Grissom Jr. out there on the mound.
I'm just trying to make smooth transitions.
What do you got, Frankie? Here's Eliezer Alfonso, and the first pitch swung out and missed. Marquise Grissom Jr. out there. Frankie is leaving. That's why he was trying to make the smooth transition. Alfonso singled in the seventh inning and has scored the lone run for the Seawolves. He has also bounced to third and bounced to second. The 0-1, a strike. And the count is 0-2. 4-1, the Senators lead. Four runs on eight hits and no errors for the Senators. A run on four hits and one error for the Seawolves. Alfonso spread out in the left-handed batter's box. Front to back. The windup and the pitch is low. The count is 1-2. 2,437 here this evening. And I think maybe that got a piece of Maxwell Romero. He is in a little bit of pain, and I didn't see that it bounced up. So the home plate umpire, Stone Garver, walked a baseball out to Marquise Grissom Jr., and now Romero has said he's good to go. Alfonso just hanging out in the left-handed batter's box. Grissom just hanging out on the mound. Grissom winds and the 1-2. Strike three called on the outside part of the plate. And Alfonso doesn't like it. He's telling Stone Garver, look, I think that pitch was off the outside part of the plate. I'll say this much, that pitch with two strikes, probably close enough to swing at. But now with all of the pitch tracking that everybody sees, as the first offering is a strike to Chris Myers, who had a long RBI double his last time up. The hitters or the pitchers see where the ball is at with the pitch tracker and don't really think about that in the old days, that pitch maybe should have been swung at. The 0-1 is a fastball that misses outside, 1-1. The windup and the 1-1 pitch is a strike, and it's 1-2 a fastball. I think the hitters are trained so much more now, or maybe trained is the wrong word. They have a better idea about the strike zone as the 1-2 just misses. And so you don't see guys protect as much with two strikes. I mean, guys strike out plenty, and they go out of the strike zone plenty. And now Stone Garver has thrown somebody out. I'm not sure who he threw out of the game, but Andrew Graham now has come down from the third base coach's box. And I think that C.J. Wormsley, the hitting coach, has come out. I don't know if he is who got thrown out or not. Well, he's out there having a conversation as much as Andrew Graham, and Andrew Graham just trying to protect his guys. I think that's probably who got thrown out of the game, is the hitting coach. It's 2 balls and 2 strikes on Chris Myers. Yeah, I think I saw that he left the dugout and headed back to the clubhouse. 2-2 with one out. And the 2-2 swing and a miss. At an off-speed pitch down for strike three, and there are two outs. By the way, that called strikeout of Eliezer Alfonso is a Sherwin-Williams called strike three. They paint the corner strikeout. Two down, nobody on. 4-1, the Senators on top. And here is Roberto Campos, who is 0-4-2, and the first pitch is low for a ball, 1-0. Campos waits, and the 1-0 offering is a breaking ball that misses. 2 balls and no strikes. Mm-hmm. 2-0. The 2-0 swing and a miss as Grissom pulled the string back on that pitch and Campos out in front of it. Two balls and one strike. It's Thursday night. Our ball game not quite 2.5 hours old. The 2-1, a strike. Called, and it's 2-2. Two balls and two strikes. A windup and the 2-2 is in the dirt with another off-speed pitch, a changeup. Full count with Jim Jarvis on deck. 3-2. The windup and the 3-2. And that's outside, ball four. Grissom missing the outside part of the plate by a few inches that time. So a man on with two down, and here is Jim Jarvis. Jarvis, 0-for-3. He is 2-for-11 in the series. He's an aggressive hitter and has gone after the first pitch in his at-bat several times in this series. Morales playing behind Campos at first base, and the first pitch is line to right field along the line, and that is fair, and it skips to the corner, and it's to the 325 side. Campos is around third and heading home. He scores. No throw to the plate. Stopping at second with a double is Jarvis, and with two outs, Erie brings the tying run to the plate in Ben Malgeri. So Jarvis doubles into the corner. After striking out the first two batters, Grissom walked Campos on a 3-2 pitch, and now Jarvis has doubled into the right field corner on the first pitch. Out to the mound is Maxwell Romero with Marquise Grissom Jr. Ben Malgeri, who is 0-for-3. Malgeri went 0-for-4 in the game on Tuesday night, so this week he is 0-for-7 in the series. First offering is a strike. That pitch on the outside part of the plate. Off-speed delivery, and the count is 0-1. Malgeri is the tying run. Top of the order, Carlos Mendoza waiting on deck. The 0-1 is a ground ball to shortstop. Lawson has it. His throw to first is perfect, and the ball game is over. Erie scores a run in the ninth on a hit, no errors, and a man left. And the Senators are winners tonight, 4-2 over the Erie Seawolves. It wasn't easy in the ninth inning, as it turns out, a couple of strikeouts, but then a run and a base runner, but Marquise Grissom Jr. retires Ben Malgeri to finish this one off. And the Senators have snapped their five-game losing streak to Erie and the losing streak this week to the Seawolves. Stay tuned. I'll be back with a post-game show. That comes your way next on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Well, the Senators are winners this evening by a final score of 4-2 over the Erie Seawolves. It was 4 runs on 8 hits, no errors for the Senators. They left 7 on the base paths. Erie, 2 runs on 5 hits and 1 error, and they left 7. The winner, Cade Cavalli, in the rehab appearance, he's 1-0. The loser, Jaden Hamm, who is 0-1, and Marquise Grissom Jr., to save his 5th. It was in front of 2,437, and it took 2 hours and 24 minutes. With the win, the Senators are now 8-10, while Erie drops to 12-6. It's the first time this season the Senators have beat the Erie Seawolves. More on this game in just a moment. First, in the major leagues, the Orioles are leading the Nationals in the bottom of the 9th inning, 2-1, but the Nationals do have a runner at second base and one out. Pirates and the Angels, the Rays and the D-backs, and the Rangers and the Athletics all coming up later on. Finals from earlier, 3-0, the White Sox over the Twins in a rain-shortened 7-inning game. 4-3, the Mariners over the Red Sox. The Giants rallied for a couple of runs in the bottom of the 8th, and they beat the Brewers 6-5. The Royals 7-4 over the Rockies in Game 1, and in Game 2, 6-2 over the Rockies. The Rockies are now 4-20. In the Eastern League, Altoona leading Chesapeake 8-5. That game's in the bottom of the 7th inning in Bowie. 10-2, Akron over Richmond. Top of the 8th inning in Akron, the Flying Squirrels are in danger of falling to 4-14. Binghamton and New Hampshire, Binghamton swept the doubleheader. 5-0 in Game 1, 4-1 in Game 2. Portland, with 2 runs in the 7th and 2 in the 8th, beat Reading 4-0. And Somerset shut out Hartford 2-0. Now in this one, it was Cade Cavalli making a Major League rehab start against Jaden Hamm for Erie. Erie had a one-out single in the first inning, and after that one-out single, Cavalli then retired 10 in a row before a two-out single in the top half of the 4th inning off the bat of Justice Bigby, but then the next batter, Eliezer Alfonso, retired. Meanwhile, the Senators went 6 up and 6 down, and then it made it 7 up and 7 down against Jaden Hamm until Max Romero Jr. came to the plate with 1 out in the bottom of the 3rd inning, and here's what happened. So Max Romero Jr., that ball hit 408 feet, 104 miles an hour off the bat. Philip Glasser walked. Daylen Lyles singled. Dante Williams singled to load the bases. Then there was a pitching change. Troy Watson came on, and Yo-Yo Morales came to the plate. So then Nick Schnell came to the plate, and he provided the final run of the inning. So it was 4-0 Senators. Schnell stole second, easy for me to say, but then final two batters were retired, no further runs. And no further runs in the game for the Senators, and actually I'll get to it, but they went down at the end of the game without having a base runner for the last several innings. In the 5th inning, a one-out walk against Cavalli, but he retired the final two batters and he was done. Cade Cavalli, 5 innings, 2 hits, 4 strikeouts and a walk in the win. He faced 18 batters in his 5 innings of work. in the top of the sixth inning. Miguel Gomez struck out the first two batters, walked the third, but then a fly ball out ended the top of the sixth. In the seventh, Eliezer Alfonso singled, then Chris Meyer doubled him home, high off the fence in right center field, but Gomez retired the next three batters. So it was a 4-1 game. The Senators, meanwhile, loaded the bases in the bottom of the fifth inning. Before all that happened in the seventh, they loaded the bases and did not score. Max Romero Jr. grounding into a fielder's choice to end the fifth inning. The Senators then had their final 10 batters retired. Meanwhile, we moved to the eighth with Michael Cuevas on the mound with two outs. Lorenzo walked, but then Bigby grounded into a fielder's choice to end the eighth inning. In the ninth, Marquise Grissom Jr. on for the save. First two batters struck out, but then Roberto Campos walked. Jim Jarvis doubled into the right field corner, scoring Campos, making it a 4-2 game. But then Ben Malgeri bounced out to shortstop to end the ballgame. And the Senators, 4-2 winners tonight over the Erie Seawolves. So the Senators are now 8-10. Erie is 12-6. The next ball game is tomorrow at 7. We'll be on the air at 6:43 tomorrow evening right here from FNB Field. For Matthew Vargo back in the studio, my partner Frankie Vernowski, I'm Terry Byram. Thanks for listening tonight. You've been listening to Harrisburg Senators Baseball on ESPN 96.5, 95.3, and 1400. Good night, everyone.